This program is brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
And for most Christians, they don't know that even coming to church, you leave with your mind occupied with your self-effort. How am I going to forgive? How am I going to walk in love? How am I going to do this? And you're trying to come up with a strategy in self-effort to try to accomplish something, and you don't even realize that your soul is drawn away from Christ because you're so occupied with how you gonna do it.
The countdown has begun. The 2024 Change Experience Tour is headed to New York City, and the revival is set to be absolutely legendary with two amazing sessions in just one day. Fellowship, music, the Word. Bring your friends and family and experience it all on Friday, April 26th. Text CHANGE 2024, one word, to 51555. Visit CreflowDollarMinistries.org or scan the QR code on your screen to claim your spot today.
This is your world, so let's vow to make it a better place. Let every heart that needs to know your love is here to stay. Oh, it's time we live a new life. Oh, let us love shine bright in you. We're saved by His grace, so we embrace your love today. We are changed.
I'm going to talk to you about Christ, the preeminent one. Christ, the preeminent one. When something is preeminent, it's the strongest, it's the most important, it's the most powerful. When something is preeminent, it towers above any and everything else. What happens in the life of a Christian when Christ becomes greater than anything else, greater than anybody else? What happens when your relationship with Him towers above any and everything else? He knows how to get you where you want to be, or should I say where we need to be. But it is not going to be through intellect alone. This is not going to take place because of how well you can dissect a scripture. Listen to me carefully. We're going too far with this. It's important to intellectually be able to understand the Word of God. But that's not the bulk of this. The bulk of this is to know Him versus knowing about Him and able to articulate Him, to know Him. There was a time where men followed God and they didn't have this thing, this instrument we have today called the Bible. But they knew Him. And today we have this instrument of the Bible and we know about Him. And because of this, which I don't deny, I praise God for this. This is my foundation for everything. But I am saying it is not just this by itself. There is a portion of it that requires you to know Him so that you won't marry the mechanics. And by marrying the mechanics, you judge everybody's whose mechanics are different than yours. But when you know Him, all the things that you're intellectualizing cannot accomplish can be accomplished because you simply know Him, not just about Him. You feel Him, you sense Him, you know Him.
Yeah.
I don't want to get to heaven and ask Jesus to sit down while I show him everything I know. I want to get to heaven and make sure I don't walk past him because I know him. So I want you to follow me very carefully here, because in this, there's a lot of things that came together for me. The story of Abraham's oldest servant going to find his son a wife, Rebecca. What was that all about? It was a shadow of something. Now I know. The scriptures that talk about the Holy Spirit's job was to magnify Jesus and give him glory. I didn't quite understand that. Now I know. And all that I have learned and known from these scriptures has driven me to want to know him better. And I pray that that happens to you today, that you know him better. Glory to God. St. John chapter 16, verse 13 and 14, he said, "How be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he, the Spirit of truth, will guide you into all truth, for," and here's a part of the truth, "for he shall not speak of himself," the Holy Spirit is not speaking of himself, "but whatsoever he," the Holy Spirit, "shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come," based on what he hears. Verse 14. "He shall glorify me," now Jesus is speaking here, "he shall glorify me," underline that, "he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and then he gonna show what's mine unto you." And he says by him receiving from Jesus and showing it to you, he gives glory to Jesus. And I want to know, what is it that he's going to show me that's going to give glory to Jesus? Not just go around and say, well, the Holy Ghost is going to show, and then you fill in the blank with all these weird things. But he's telling you here, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, he shall show it unto you. So the work of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Christ. Oh, that sounds so Christian-like. Oh, that sounds so religious, that he's going to glorify Christ. I couldn't stop there. And months went by, and I'm like, what do you mean by glorifying him? What do you mean by glorifying him? I don't want to just use another Christian word. What does that mean? What does that look like? The work of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Christ. And if the work of the Holy Spirit is to glorify or to magnify Christ, then it follows that it is God's purpose that the believer shall see the fullness of the beauty in him, because he says he's going to glorify me and he shall show it unto you. So the believer is going to see something. Let's look at this. What is it? Let's answer that question. What does it mean to glorify God? It means to acknowledge his greatness and his splendor. The Holy Spirit's job is to acknowledge the greatness, the splendor, the awesomeness, the grace, the mercy. And I realize, oh, I have seen it. What have I seen? I have seen the greatness and the splendor of the grace of God working in my life, tearing out that shame and guilt and pain, taking you and completely turning you around, and you're still trying to figure out, how did I get where I am right now? I was such a fool. And now, all I want is Jesus. How did that happen? The Holy Spirit says, I'm glorifying him because I've received him, and I am showing you his greatness. Oh, look how great he was when he saved you from that addiction. Oh, look how awesome he was when he healed you. Oh, look how amazing he was when he gave you something you didn't deserve. Oh, look out. Look at the splendor of him giving you peace. And now you went from 2 hours of sleep to 7 hours of sleep. I see his glory. So when the mind of a man and when the heart of a man, when it becomes occupied with Christ, think with me. When your mind becomes occupied with Christ, when your heart becomes occupied with Christ, I can't speak for anybody in here. I don't know what your mind's occupied with. I don't know what your heart's occupied with, but if it's not Christ, we got an issue here. Because when your mind and heart becomes occupied with Christ, then the grace and the truth of which he is full of, John chapter 1:14, Jesus full of what? Grace and what? Truth. The grace and the truth which he is full of, Jesus is full of, must become a great influence for godly living. The grace and truth that Jesus is full of must become an influence for godly living. Not the fact that you know all the laws and then you work hard to keep all the rules, but the grace and the truth of Jesus has so influenced you that godly living springs up in your life because of the influence. And you're no longer looking to see how to keep that commandment, how to do this, how to do that, how to love, how to forgive, how to do all those things, but you're so influenced by him. His glory has been shown to you. His grace and truth has been made real to you, and your mind is occupied with his grace. Your mind is occupied with his truth. It is no longer just what you get on Sunday, but Monday you're occupied with this grace and truth, and Tuesday you're occupied with this grace and truth, because all your Christian life you've been trying to arrive at a certain point, and you never got there, but something happened when you submitted yourself to depend on this grace and truth, and now you look at yourself now and you're just not what you used to be. Now, on the other hand, when a believer struggles in self-effort to do that which he thinks is right, your mind then becomes occupied with self. And your soul is drawn away from Christ because you're just thinking about how I can do this. How can I do that? How can I do that? How can I be successful? How can I get enough money to do this? How can I do that? How can I forgive this? How your mind is occupied with self, and you're struggling in your self-effort. And for some people, they don't even know that the struggle is in their self-effort. And for most Christians, they don't know that even coming to church, you leave with your mind occupied with your self-effort. How am I going to forgive? How am I going to walk in love? How am I going to do this? And you're trying to come up with a strategy in self-effort to try to accomplish something, and you don't even realize that your soul is drawn away from Christ, because you're so occupied with how you gonna do it. Therefore, when the Holy Spirit takes of the things that are Christ and he shows them to the believer, he is now carrying out God's purpose of the teaching by grace. He's showing you, are you kidding me? He is showing you that you're righteous, even though you ain't there all the way yet. He's
He's disrupting a desire that has plagued you all your life. And one day you woke up and that the strength of that desire begins to be depleted. And one day you realize, I don't even desire that anymore. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? How did I get here? You remember those days where you heard something at church, you heard something about this, and you knew it was right, and so you accepted the challenge, and you went home and wrote some formulas down, some plans down, and you said you were going to do it every day. And you started off right with the right heart, but it didn't last for 2 days. And then the fourth day, you forgot all about it. And all God wanted you to do is, can you spend some time with me? Can we talk today? You ain't even got to pray a form of prayer of the rules you learned about prayer at church. Can we just talk? In fact, if you want to, you could just be quiet and I'll fill you with my presence. And you look up and he has worked on a desire and taken away a desire and even gave you a new one. And the struggle you had with loving that person is not a struggle anymore. I've been hanging around the essence of pure love. And it has rubbed off in me and on me. And I can't explain intellectually to you what has happened, but I can love now. I can love stuff that's not lovely. That I don't need it to be lovely for me to love. Because of the Holy Spirit on the inside of me, pouring the love of God on the inside of me, revealing to me Jesus and seeing this part of his greatness and his awesomeness, I don't need you to be all right for me to love you, because now I've made room for your faults because the Holy Ghost has shown me my own. And you find that you have willingly left all and you hunger for him. That's why I am right now. How can I separate myself from my bad tradition? How can I separate myself from my self-effort? How many fables have I created and told myself it must be true? Genesis chapter 24 gives an illustration here of something that I saw. Flip over there. Genesis 24. I looked at this thing and I was like, Lord, I don't think I've ever seen this like this before. The Holy Spirit showing you things about him. So this is a story here about Abraham, who was old. Sarah had just died. He called his older servant to go and seek out a wife for his son, Isaac. Verse 10, and the servant took 10 camels of his master's and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hands. He arose and went to Mesopotamia and to the city of Nahor. So he takes 10 camels, he takes a lot of the goods that Abram had. What is he going to do with this?
Abraham had already prophesied to him exactly how this was going to go down. She was going to show up. She was going to have a bucket in her hands when she do this and do that. And so in verse 33, I wish I could read the whole thing, but I'm skipping around. Verse 33, he says, I will not eat until I have told mine Aaron. And he said, speak on. And he said, I am Abraham's servant. And the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. And he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old. And unto him hath he given all that he had. See, right now, this servant is glorifying Abraham and his master and Isaac. And he said, verse 39, and I said unto my master, peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee, and he'll prosper your way. And thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. So he went to his kinfolks to find a wife. That was not so weird back then. It'd be weird now. Gross, Amona. And then Laban, Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceeded from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. He said, behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her. Go. Let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And they worshiped him. Verse 53, and the servant brought forth jewels of silver, jewels of gold, raiment, and gave to Rebekah. And he gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. What was happening here? It was by presenting gifts from Isaac through the servant and telling about him that Abraham's servant attracted the heart of Rebekah. Her heart was attracted from what she heard about him and the things that was given to her. And she went with him, and she became Isaac's bride because of what she heard and what she saw, and her heart was attracted towards him. So also, the Holy Spirit, by glorifying Christ, seeks to draw believers away from the things of the world and to bring them to Christ. The Holy Spirit says, what I want to do is I want to show you he can change you. I want to show you he can give you peace. I want to show you there's mercy for the bad you deserve you don't get. Soon as you did something stupid and thought you were going to get punished for it, and the goodness showed up instead of the punishment, I want that to attract your heart to leave the world, to leave what you were doing, and come to him, because I have shown you the beauty of his glory.
Do you know who you are? God says one thing, but the devil tries to convince us of something else. In the groundbreaking two-part series, How to Avoid Identity Theft, Creflo Dollar teaches believers how to stop our true identity from being stolen.
As believers, your identity is found in Christ. Placing your identity in your mistakes will keep you in spiritual slavery. Your identity is that you are indeed children of the Most High God. This is not based on your feelings. This ain't based on what happened last year. Holy Ghost came, joined with your spirit, got together with your spirit, and said, now you are children of God.
For a love gift of only $15 for CDs or $25 for DVDs, you can grab your copy today. Call the number on your screen, scan the QR code, or visit CreflowDollarMinistries.org and click eStore. Secure your identity now.
Do you want to live a life of grace? Reunite and reignite at Grace Life, the reunion, from July 11th through 13th at the World Dome in College Park, Georgia. Ignite your faith with Creflo and Taffy Dollar and an unmatched lineup of speakers, including Andrea Creighton,
Gregory Dickow, Inky Johnson, Michael Smith, and Clarence McClendon.
I always know that every time I come, I get a good convicting word, and I felt that, you know, Grace Life and the message behind that was something I really needed to hear.
It is mind-blowing to have the doctrine broke down to a level where anyone can understand.
If you need to be encouraged, energized, if you need to know purpose, Grace Life encourages us to live even more so for Christ every day.
Save your spot at the reunion. Text Grace Life, one word, to 51555 or visit CreflowDollarMinistries.org. No matter where you start, all roads lead home to Grace Life.
I pray that this broadcast blessed you today. I want you to pray about sowing a financial seed into this ministry. I also want to extend a special thanks to those of you who have remained our loyal partners, supporters, and friends. Your financial support goes a long, long way. Your donations help equip us with what we need to send this broadcast all over the world. And when you give to this ministry, you partner with us to reach people everywhere who are hurting and in need of the revelation of God's grace and love.
If God has placed it on your heart to support the vision of this ministry to reach the world with the gospel of grace, you may call in to make your financial donations or log on to CreflowDollarMinistries.org. God bless you.
No matter where you are on your personal journey, the Word of God can reach you. At work or simply needing to hear from the Lord, tune in to World Changers every Sunday at 10 a.m. or restream at 2 p.m., 6 p.m., and 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Text WATCH NOW to 51555 or visit worldchangers.org for more information about services and stream times. We're in this together. No matter where we are World Changers. See you online.
Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe. The preceding program was brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.